Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Reid Graff. Fascinating program in store today. The right to protect oneself is a universal law in this country. Violent acts among humans are a reality, unfortunately. As much as we'd like to see world peace, having knowledge of self-defense techniques, not a bad idea. But the art of self-defense is not just martial arts that you see in the movie, punching and kicking. There's a lot more to it, including vigilance, avoidance, and use of words. A reminder and a disclaimer today, we're talking about non-lethal self-defense techniques, and we encourage you not to try this at home unless you are legitimately under an attack in an unlawful way or under the guidance of a self-defense instructor. That said, we have two experts in the studio today. John Border is a sixth-degree black belt. He has black belts in five different martial arts systems. He's an internationally recognized self-defense instructor with 25 years of experience in training and teaching. He runs the Modern Self-Defense Academy in Albany and is the director of the ABC Women's Self-Defense Program. Dan Tuzinski is a self-defense instructor and a lawyer with expertise in legal issues surrounding self-defense and legal liability. He has 15 years of self-defense training and has black belts in two different martial arts. He's also the co-designer and instructor of the Mother-Daughter Self-Defense Program in cooperation with the Columbia County Sheriff's Department. And it's nice to have you gentlemen here today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Number to call if you want to join in the conversation, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also tweet us at WAMCVoxPop. Go to our webpage, WAMC.org/VoxPop. There's a spot you can comment there. You can comment below today's wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can even email us, VoxPop@WAMC.org. But we do love your calls, 1-800-348-2551. With that said, John Border and Dan Tuzinski, how did you get into this, and what led you to this calling?
Well, Ray, I'll go first. Like you said in the introduction, Dan and I both have extensive martial arts experience.
Yeah.
And martial arts are great. Martial arts are fantastic for a lot of different reasons. But a few years back, we were kind of taking a good hard look at martial arts / self-defense, and there's definitely a need for it. I mean, one of our mottos is self-defense is not an option, it's a right. And we kind of took a strong, honest look at things and identified a bit of a gap in the self-defense arena, per se.
Well, what is self-defense?
Well, self-defense is interesting. When people think about taking a self-defense class, I think what they visualize is going to a class, listening to an instructor, hitting a bunch of pads, and now they've got this great skill level that they walk away from. They walk away with that type of subject matter. But it's really, in our viewpoint, not the way that works. I mean, with our self-defense program, we teach three very basic approaches. First one is basically awareness. You have to be aware of the situation. You have to be aware of what's going on around you. We do a lot of statistics and facts and figures, so people kind of have a reference point for why they should take a self-defense class and what they need to do to avoid it. The second feature we like to teach is boundaries. How to keep that distance from an attacker or from someone who's going to approach you. You have the right to say no. You know, we give a lot of different techniques and tactics for that. And the last part we actually teach is the contact. That's what ABC stands for, awareness, boundaries, and contact. So we actually do cover the physical end of it. But, I mean, any successful self-defense class or anything that we consider successful, it has to have the psychological aspect to it. It has to have the prevention aspect to it. It has to have the avoidance aspect to it. It's not just physical technique.
Right.
It needs to go beyond that. So.
Ray, one of the things we identified and just looking at people and self-defense is simply trying to stay safe, trying to keep yourself out of harm's way. And while we're both advocates being martial artists of martial arts programs, the typical person to become proficient in the martial arts invests years of training. What about the average person who has never learned how to defend themselves in any situation?
Right.
Somebody walking down the street. And as we looked at it and we started looking at statistics, we were kind of blown away by the number of unprovoked assaults and attacks that happen on average people. Time magazine came out with an expose, and we can talk about if the statistics are completely reliable or not because it was a quick survey. But there's a staggering statistic. One in four girls who go off to college are going to be the victim of some type of sexual abuse or assault. Mm. That's a staggering statistic, and most people are not equipped. They've never been in a situation where they learn how to define boundaries, how to even avoid situations. So that's what we emphasize. It's not so much kicking apples off people's heads, as you see in the movies. It's how to stay safe, how to avoid being attacked in a parking garage.
I would think that how and when to say no and setting a boundary is easier said than done if you, in fact, are facing somebody with malice, with ill intent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trying to determine what the intent is probably the hardest part. One of the three levels of setting up boundaries, we describe it this way. The first one is visual. If someone starts approaching you and they're closing in on what you consider your safety zone, which we consider about a 6-foot circle around the person, we very simply have them put their hands up and say, "Excuse me," to get their attention, to kind of take control of the situation.
Does that work?
It works many times. In fact, that's one of the things that we found. People have come back and taken the class multiple times. Something that simple, could put off a potential issue. Now, again, we're doing it that way. It has to be an escalation of all, because this is just something you're feeling uncomfortable with. We're not saying someone's charging you with a gun or a knife or machete. But to first take control of that situation, you need to kind of do that. So we have them put up hands and say, "Excuse me," to kind of take the attention. If the person continues to move forward, we then get a little more aggressive on that, a little more assertive, I should probably be a better word. And we tell them, "Excuse me, stop right there, don't come near me."
Yeah.
All right. And verbal commands very important. I mean, law enforcement, they study that for years. If you're going to cuff somebody, tell them to go to the ground, that kind of a thing. So that kind of kicks up to the last level. So that's really the verbal part. The first one's putting your hands up. Everyone understands what putting your hands up means. It's an international indication of stop. To actually speak out and say, "Stop right there, don't come near me," you're laying that boundary, you're laying that line. You've made it clear that you're not going to tolerate this. The last part is when, if they continue coming, that's when you get very aggressive, very assertive, and we have women actually scream and come out of their shell. "Get the hell away from me, don't come near me," say, that kind of a thing. We tend to say this: what's the worst that's going to happen if this person was really just coming up to ask for the time? They're going to be a little embarrassed.
Freaked out.
Yeah, you're freaked out. That's it. But if it's not, if it is somebody that has some malice or some intent, you're starting to lay the groundwork that you're not going to be an easy victim.
We are talking with John Border and Dan Tuzinski of the Modern Self-Defense Academy. We talk about self-defense today, and if you want to join in the conversation, number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You guys have a certain placidness about you. I talked to you in the green room, and I would assume this goes to back to an old military philosophy that's peace through strength. And so what if you are a man on the street who has absolutely no training, and you know that if this person goes beyond my boundary, I am in serious trouble? Then what happens?
What we try to emphasize, Ray, is you try to avoid situations at all costs. Someone who comes in and takes a class like the one we offered or another type of class is not going to come out as an MMA expert. It's just not going to happen. We teach reality situational training to avoid. So we try to avoid that situation at all costs. If you're walking down the street, you have four people walking towards you, you're walking through an alley, it's simple. You just don't go there. You try to avoid that.
What if there's nowhere to avoid? A way to avoid it.
Well, it's interesting enough. Part of the cue we teach and things that we've studied very closely is body language. The FBI and law enforcement officials have surveyed perpetrators in jail, people who prey on other people. And one of the things that is clear is they are looking for victims. You're not going to go down an alley and see a 6'6" guy and pick a fight unless probably you're drunk or you're crazy.
Yeah.
In most situations, people are looking for victims. So one of the things we try to cue is you don't want to look submissive. You don't want to look like a victim. You want to have an air of confidence about you. You want to look like there's something to you.
Can you bluff that if you know nothing?
You absolutely can bluff that. You can appear very formidable. And what John said earlier is true. Voice cues, your awareness, you're looking at somebody in the eye, you're basically giving a formal presentation. It does a lot to intimidate people. Hmm. Who may, in fact, try to put you in harm's way.
Right. Let's go back to play off of what Dan was saying. We basically teach there's three things that an attacker or some type of assault does not want. right? One, he does not want to be identified, right? He doesn't want any kind of a hassle, right? And he doesn't want to get caught.
So he wants an easy mark and no chance of getting caught.
Right. So the things that we teach, something as simple as eye contact. You know, we've taught that and people have said, oh, that's so, you know, that seems too easy.
Yeah.
It's incredibly easy and it's a hugely effective initiative because, one, it shows that you're in a position of confidence. And two, you've looked at this person. You've been able to identify this person up front. The other thing is any kind of a hassle. As soon as you start resisting and pushing back, you're probably not going to be that easy target. You're not that easy victim. They're probably not going to go there. And the last thing is they don't want to get caught. So as things get a little more involved, a little louder, a little rowdier, you're going to attract attention.
Yeah.
So unless they're a complete sociopath, if they're then this gives you some elements and some tools to be able to avoid getting into that situation. You can cut it off before it starts.
We are talking today with John Border and Dan Tuzinski of the Modern Self-Defense Academy. We talk self-defense today. Our own self-defense champion, Alan Shartok, has walked in. And we'll talk to Alan in a minute. I know he has a few questions. And then we'll get to your calls. 1-800-348-2551. Back in a flash.
Support for WAMC comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, preserveNYS.org. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York. Providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts. Presenting the Fresh Grass Music Festival, featuring Emmylou Harris, the infamous String Dusters, Railroad Earth, and more. Over 40 bands, Friday through Sunday, freshgrass.com. And High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, now enrolling Music and Me, ages 3 and under, and Community Story Hour, working to nurture early learners, highmeadowschool.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. John Border is here, and Dan Tuzinski, the Modern Self-Defense Academy, is the place. And Ray Graff here, also joined today by our ubiquitous head honcho, Alan Shartok. Alan, you're quite an expert in this.
Well, subject. I am. I heard this morning. I heard this as I was going about my business here. And I wanted to come in and ask you guys what I did wrong in both of these cases.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Is it what I go wrong? I had read in the paper a couple of years ago that I get here in the morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I have to eventually walk between this building and one, two doors down. And quite frequently, there are some characters on the street. One day I get here, and there is a guy in the... I actually pulled up to the front of the building for some reason. I don't remember. I had to take something out. And there's a guy standing in our little alcove in the front, and he says, "Hey, man, you got a tire iron?" He says, "You got a tire iron?" Now, that's a big scam. I just read about it, which is they get you around the corner and they beat you up when you bring their tire iron. And I just yelled at him. I mean, I yelled as loud as I could. "You get the..." And I used some pejorative words.
Yeah, I have
words.
A dump button if you end up slipping.
I used some pejorative words. And they ran. And I didn't actually see the guy in the alcove. I just saw the guy who was talking to me in front of me. So loudness, in that case, seemed to do the trick.
Well, you're all set then.
Yeah. The other thing I often do is walk with my key between my fingers so that if there is a problem... I could use the key as a sort of weapon, but I'm a little guy, and you know, you don't want to get into it. Yesterday, there was a fellow across the street who yelled, "It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Hey, man, you got the time." And I said, "No," and he started to come across the street, and I said, "Stay right where you are."
And that's what you guys are talking about.
Stay right where you are.
That's exactly what
we
were talking about.
I just wanted the time.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about. I mean, to take control of the situation, you actually went to what we call level 3, where you said, you know, "Get the hell away from me," kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, the person's going to be embarrassed, maybe a little uncomfortable, but that's exactly one of the components that we like to have people do, is to be confident enough to be able to do that.
Now, for my birthday... somebody gave me a Thunderer brass whistle.
Okay.
Wow.
And I like the whistle idea. So, you know, for a little while, till I lost it, I was walking in the street, you know, sort of going, whoop, whoop, whoop. As I was walking along between those two buildings. I mean, once the light comes out, you're all right. You're okay. Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Alan. Though when you resist in that level, it's unsettling to the person who's going to approach you. They're not expecting you to take that type of activity or that kind of action. You know, one thing that we teach and we talk about is the socialization process of men and women in this society. And this is the biggest. I think it's the biggest detriment to protecting yourself, and that's this. Most people want to be nice people. If somebody comes up and says, hey, can you tell me where the local Dunkin' Donuts is? You disarm yourself, you invite them in, could be a stranger. Women in particular are put in that situation where women are nurturers. They want to be helpful. The last thing they're thinking in many cases is, this is never going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And by the time they realize that the person has got inappropriate intentions, the person's too close to them at that point to basically define a boundary, then you're in a much more difficult situation. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is emphasize that don't be too nice. And I'm going to give you a quick interesting story just to tell you how this happened. We had a woman attend one of our classes. She's a fitness instructor, a kickboxing instructor. Wonderful person. She's a mom. She tells a story how she came out of Crossgates Mall and she's on her way to her car and a guy came up to her and she said it was clearly a line. She said, am I such and such's mom? And I said, no, you have the wrong person. And she said, I didn't give it another thought. And I got into my car and I looked up and he was standing in the passenger side window with his hand on the door. And she called me all excited to tell me, because one of the things we talked about is don't be too nice. I said, well, of course you lock the door immediately, right? She goes, that's just the point. I didn't want to appear rude.
Ah.
And I said, do you realize that your socialization and the fact that you're trying to be a nice person potentially puts you in harm's way? She said, you're absolutely right. So one of the things that we talk about is you've got to realize that you can be your own worst enemy. You can be too nice. You can put yourself in harm's way and not realize it. So you need to realize that your socialization works against you in some situations. Alan, you did the right thing.
And one last one, and then we get to the calls, right?
Yeah.
Twice in this neighborhood, I've pulled into our parking lot, and a prostitute has come in to the area. As soon as they've gotten into the space, which is quite large, our parking area, I yell at them, you have no business being in here. You have no business being here. What are you doing in here? Well, I thought you called me, that kind of thing. So so sometimes you just really, as you say, keep the distance. That's so important.
Keep the distance and take control of the situation, yeah. Absolutely.
However, one tactic that Alan mentioned, which was putting a key between his fingers, doesn't really project anything to a potential attacker who doesn't know that you have a key. Right. That would only be effective if you really plan to use it, I would
think. But not the way I do it. See, what happens is I come out of the parking lot. Now I have to make a left turn. I hold the thing between my two fingers, and I go like James Bond would if he had a gun in his hand. You go, first you go to your left, then you show the thing to your right, and then you go the thing across the street. That's the way to do it.
Well, all right, that's Alan. And
we're going to bring in as a guest instructor,
Alan. Bring him over to the Modern Self-Defense Academy, and then just wait for the lawsuits.
I think that would be the only time we'll ever hear Alan referred to or compared to James Bond, but that's
oh,
that's,
well, you, I think you
actually Matt Dillon.
Let's go to Kim in Pittsfield. Kim, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, you're on.
All right. So I'm actually a self-defense instructor, and I live here in Pittsfield, and I'm also a board member of the Elizabeth Freeman Center. And I would like to ask your wonderful guest speakers if they could address some of the self-defense issues that come up more commonly when you are very familiar with your attacker, and how they would address setting boundaries with someone that you may be involved with on a more intimate level or dating, because I think the stranger attack is less common. And I'm willing to hang up and listen.
Okay, excellent question. And that sort of gets to the Time Magazine poll that you had brought up earlier, Dan.
This is a really very difficult question, Kim, because it gets into situations of familiarity. What are the boundaries and expectations in a given relationship? you have a right, as you know, to say no. You have a right to say, I'm not going there. One thing we talk about is the impact of alcohol and drugs on your own ability to say no and your own ability to take control. There's a corresponding loss of judgment when you put yourself in an impaired state. The best thing we believe you can do is make it very clear from the beginning and that I'm not going here. This is not where I'm going to go. And what we try to teach is basic, simple ways to escape. We are not going to be able to teach you to be a proficient fighter in a 3 or 5 hour course. What we're trying to do is giving you ability and ways to separate yourself from an attacker, get away from the person. But on some level, it depends upon the proposed victim assessing the situation accurately. If she's on a date, her first or second date, and the person takes liberties, that's when you have to assert control. You have to send a message with your body language. This is not acceptable. This is not where we're going to go. And you have to basically define that.
We're joined today by Dan Tyczynski and John Borter of the Modern Self-Defense Academy in Albany. And also, John is the director of the ABC Women's Self-Defense Program. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Okay, you've been aware of your surroundings. You've set your boundaries. What happens when you have to get physical?
Okay. Again, what we try to teach is escalation or de-escalation of force. There are certain courses I've seen out there that if someone comes up and puts their hand on their shoulder, you start jabbing them in the eye and kicking them in the groin, and that's not always necessary. And we do stress that in the class. It really depends on what the situation is. We jokingly say, you know, if Uncle Morty's had a little too much to drink at the family wedding, you don't want to be, you know, ripping his eyes out because he came up and put his hand on you. So we do teach escalation of force, everything from someone who's just a little too amorous, okay, which I think a lot of the verbal cues will take care of that.
Yeah.
But if there's actually physical contact, there's a grab, there's a choke, that kind of a thing, it's time to take some action. What we try to stress are very simple, very natural motion techniques. The disadvantage to certain training is that it's very formalized. It's very, we're going to use fancy moves or extended stances, and that's really not a self-defense applicable type thing. We try to keep it very basic, very, very easy, something that's very natural. We're not going to teach you 100 different ways to do one thing. We're going to try to teach you one way that works against multiple things. To kind of speak to that a little bit, let's talk about this. Let's talk about hitting, okay? Punching and kicking for a second. We have a little different approach to that than I think most martial arts and self-defense classes do. One of the things that we stress in great detail in our self-defense classes are you never want to punch in a self-defense situation. You ever want to make a fist and ball up and hit. I mean, we all grew up in the John Wayne, movies and the Batman shows that we think, and we see something on in Hollywood that we're going to punch someone. But the metacarpals of the hand are so fragile. I've been doing martial arts for 25 years, and a couple of years ago, I hit a heavy bag just the wrong way, and I broke my hand in 4 spots.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson, a few years back before the Mitch Green fight, got into a bar fight and hit someone in the face and broke his hand. That's Mike Tyson. That's what he does. He fights for a living. But when you take the pads and you take the gloves and you take the cushion away from it, it can be a very, very dangerous thing. So we really stress open-handed striking as opposed to a closed fist type of approach.
Can that be effective?
Very extremely effective. Just from a physics standpoint, and we've done a lot of study in this, we've worked with a lot of people, you can actually generate more power with some practice, some training, open-handed, than you can with a fist. And there may be some debate on that, so I'm not here to get into that necessarily, but in my studies and some experience have shown that if I punch someone in the face, I might be able to crack their jawbone, let's say.
Yeah.
If I open hand slap someone in the face, the force is different and I could actually shatter it in a number of different ways.
Okay, so. Now I want to remind listeners that we're encouraging you not to try this at home, seriously, unless you are legitimately under attack in an unlawful way or you are under the guidance of a self-defense instructor. But we are talking about some violent things here. And just remember, this is not something you want to do,
right?
Just cavalierly.
Right? Can I jump in here with something? I really want to emphasize that our approach is avoid physical contact at all costs.
Yeah.
It is not an appropriate situation. It's not a good situation if a 5'4" woman is fighting a 6'2" guy who outweighs her by 120 pounds.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that situation. So We believe when you're teaching self-defense, you're emphasizing self-defense, you start with awareness. Then you start with boundaries. There's multi levels of defense that each person has. And any one of these things can work. Awareness. Gee, I'm not going to park my car in a dark parking garage and go back to the car at 11:30 at night and be alone on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
But just little things like that, to the point of boundaries. Have a confidence about you. Somebody approaches you, don't look down. You want to be able to look the person in the eye. That sends a cue you can identify this person later. There's all these little tools that women technically have, or men have for that matter. Then if it gets to a situation where you must use physical force, we teach physical force, but it's measured. The objective is, I want to get away. I want to escape. If you strike somebody in the face, you don't sit and knock them down and say, ha-ha, and hit them again.
Wait for the next one.
You get out of dodge. You get out of there as quickly as you can. So that's our approach. It's situational awareness. It's avoidance of encounters. If, unfortunately, somebody grabs you by the wrist, somebody grabs you by the neck, well, then we teach you how to fight back.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Jay in Albany. Jay, thanks for hanging in there.
Good afternoon. I'd like to say oos to the senseis.
Hello, sir.
Sir?
Yes.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're very welcome. I trained for a bit over 8 years at U.S. Budokai. And Shihan taught us that, one, you should be smart enough not to get into these situations. You actually use your training.
Exactly.
And if he ever found out that we had to, if it took longer than 10 seconds to disable the opponent and get away, we weren't doing it right. And two, he would beat our butts for being stupid enough to get into that situation.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to. It's an art form. And basically why I called is, we were taught, especially at black belt level, that there is no real self-defense defense in New York State. What there is, we are allowed to use sufficient force to get away from a bad situation.
Great, great point to bring up. And Dan, let's talk to that issue.
You're absolutely right, Jay. One of the difficulties when you're in a self-defense situation is, and you are correct, it's basically a statement of what is generally the legal principle in New York. You are allowed to defend yourself. You are allowed to use such force as is necessary under the circumstances. It gets dicey when you go beyond that force. While we all know black belts don't register their hands for self-defense, that's another common myth. The reality, if you have training and somebody approaches you and you defend yourself, you're allowed to do that. But when you turn offensive, then when you go on the offense, that's when situations arise. It can get very difficult. You can face criminal charges. You can face civil liability. So it's always appropriate to use a measured response and always appropriate to try to avoid situations like that. But
now,
you're absolutely right.
As a lawyer, and I'm assuming that perhaps you've had to wade into some of these cases, how do you define that line in the heat of the moment?
It's very difficult to determine. And quite frankly, oftentimes, if a prosecutor or a law enforcement people want to prosecute and they bring a case, your defense is to prove reasonableness to a jury. That's not always easy to do.
Yeah.
Because in the heat of the moment and somebody comes at you and your adrenaline is pumping into your system and you push the guy back and then you strike the guy and you strike him too hard and he goes down and he's in the hospital, there's a fine line between where you're defending yourself and you become the aggressor. So it's not always that clear under the circumstances.
So a simple defense of, I didn't start this, is not good enough.
Not good enough.
All right. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Antonio in Belchertown. Antonio, you're on. Antonio, are you there? One more.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just wondered if the gentleman, your guest today, have familiarity with a book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. It was a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list a few years ago, and I'm just curious about what their take was on that book, if they in fact knew about it.
Absolutely.
And I'll hang up to let them
All
talk
right,
about
thanks
it.
A lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you. That's one of our suggested books for our students and the people that attend our classes to read. The Gift of Fear is a phenomenal book. And in a nutshell, what it basically does, to just kind of take a great book, a large book, into one statement, it's trust your gut instinct. Right? Trust your gut instinct. And what happens in a lot of cases where if someone's involved in any kind of an altercation, or if they're involved in a crime, you know, somebody breaks in and robs a store, whatever the case may be, what is a very typical response is, geez, I knew that there was something wrong about that situation. I just had a feeling. Yet going back to the socialization, we don't want to act on those feelings.
So there are more cues that you can consciously render, that subconsciously you know that something's not quite right. I don't know what it is.
Exactly. I mean, it's almost like we have to balance our survival instinct that's been developed over hundreds of thousands of years to our socialization and our common sense. And it's a phenomenal book. I would strongly recommend that book.
Let's go to Jaime in Steventown. You're on.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good,
sir. How are you, sir?
I have a comment and then a question.
Okay.
My brother-in-law was head of Florida Department of Law Enforcement for many years. And he said something to me a while back that's always stuck with me. And he said, criminals don't want complications. And that could be a barking dog, or that could be someone like you guys were talking about, who is using body language to show that they're not going to be an easy mark.
Yeah.
So that's just the comment.
All right, Jaime, before the question, if you would mind hanging in there for about a minute, we're going to take a break here for some underwriting. We're joined today by John Border and Dan Tyczynski. We're talking self-defense today, and we'll be back in a moment.
Support for WMC comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, InterimHealthcare.com. Careers and Transition LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume and cover letter writing, Careers and Transition LLC.com. MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including medallion cabinetry, countertops, design services, and showroom, mkckitchens.com. And MPAC, presenting their October Intensive, featuring four newly commissioned works in one evening, installation, performance, and a dramatic trip through the countryside on a bus, Saturday, October 4th, mpac.rpi.edu.
Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Ray Graff here. I'm joined today by John Border and Dan Tyczynski, and we had been on the line with Jaime in Steventown, and you had a comment, which we aired, and now it's time for your question, Jaime.
Okay, here's the question. For many years, I have told many of the women who are, you know, friends, or in some cases my wife, my sisters, I say to them, based on what I've seen and read, that they should never go anywhere with anyone. And what I mean by that, if someone comes up to you and they have a knife and they say, get in the car, what I say to them is, don't go. Do whatever you have to do to get away, kick, scream, punch, run, but whatever you do, whatever happens to you when you do that, will be certainly not as serious as if you go where this person is going to take you.
Makes sense, guys?
Jaime, that's exactly. We have on our website top 10 self-defense tips, and number 8 is you never leave the original scene. Studies have definitely shown that people will come up and they'll say something like, come with me or I'm going to kill you, or come with me, I'm going to hurt your family.
Right.
And the person obviously wants to go, wants to protect their family, but statistics show beyond any reasonable doubt that the people that leave that original scene and go somewhere else, chances are they're not coming back. I hate to sound so dark about it, but there's a good chance of that. So our approach is, if that comes up and if that happens, that's the time to take your stand. That's the time to stand your ground and do whatever it is that we need to do to get you out of danger. But yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that position.
Jaime, thanks a lot for the call. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. And Dan, you'd mentioned, we talked about at the very start of the program, the mother-daughter self-defense program, which you run in cooperation with a local sheriff's department.
We do. We're very proud of this program, Ray. It started a few years ago. I was talking to some of the students who attended our classes, and they'd say, boy, I wish my daughter would take this. She's graduating from high school. We got thinking about it, and you know, one of the greatest fears we have as parents, and I'm the dad of two daughters myself, is what happens when your little girl goes off to college.
Yeah.
And so we've introduced a program, and we've done it in conjunction with the Columbia County Sheriff, Dave Bartlett, and we have a program which talks about the risks associated with going off to school.
Mm.
The whole issue of drinking and drugging. I mean, kids want to go out and socialize with friends, and you see it time and time again. They put themselves in bad situations. And we invite the moms to come in because it's like a family building type of idea.
Yeah.
The moms and the daughters go, they take the programs directly, and we go from the very basics. You're going off to school. What kind of things are you not aware of? What kind of situations might you find yourself in? And we really emphasize the awareness because so many of these sexual assaults and situations that happen on campus mix alcohol with drugs. They just end up using bad judgment. Mm. And you know what? It's disgraceful, but there's very little prosecution for these offenses, either in the criminal courts or in the various colleges, boards of conduct who review these situations. So we try to arm daughters with tips on how to stay safe when they go to school. We try to team build with the mom so they know what to expect. And we've been very proud of the program. We think it's a really good community service.
What are some of the myths of self-defense? I know that there are, I mean, already in this program, we have slashed some preconceived notions, but there have to be myths that we all believe to be true that are just simply not true.
Sure. I think, and we kind of touched on this at one point, but one of the biggest myths, and not necessarily about self-defense, but in having to defend yourself is, this is never going to happen to me. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've had classes or we've talked to people about, hey, would you like to try our program? Oh, I'm fine. This is never going to happen to me. You know, I live in a good neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, I have a good job. You know what? There are statistics that show it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what your physical makeup is, what neighborhood you live in. This happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Just a number of years ago, in a couple of affluent, you know, neighborhoods right here in the Capital District, there are home invasions. So it's not just happening to the other people. I think the biggest myth or the biggest challenge we have is people getting past that mindset of, it's never going to happen to me.
Yeah.
That's really a dangerous place to be. When we're talking about, you know, just this one I have to bring up, and I bring it up semi-seriously, semi-jokingly. I can't tell you how many times we've talked about having a women's self-defense class, and we do discuss this in the class as well. I say, ladies, you know, in the context of it, ever since you were a little girl, growing up, when your father or your mother or your uncle, whoever, was giving you that advice, if someone came up to give you a hassle, what are you supposed to do? And the typical response is, kick him in the groin,
right?
Absolutely. And then I will turn around to the gentleman in the class and say, gentlemen, what have we known is going to happen ever since we were little boys? You know, men tend to protect their groin and their eyes. They're not standing there in a wide stance to make that an available target. You know, they tend to be protective. All I really have to do if I'm struggling with someone is bend my knee 3 inches to protect that. And I'm not saying the groin's not a great target.
Yeah, I would think that would be
a fairly great target.
Yeah, sensitive spot.
The problem is that people get into the mindset, that's all I have to do. So they don't bother to follow through in any kind of training. They don't bother to follow through in any kind of physical activity or practice. And the problem, just to kind of go off on a little tangent, with having that is then they miss the benefits of the awareness, you know, information that we put out, the boundary information we put out. They figure, I'm good. All I have to do is kick someone in the groin. That is probably one of the biggest myths that I see out there. Again, if the opportunity presents itself, it's an awesome target. But it's not the answer all is something we try to stress.
That's John Border. We're also joined by Dan Tuzinski here of the Modern Self-Defense Academy. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Jill in Waterford. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Ray. I have a question, although I do want to make a comment about something that Jaime had said about don't go with them.
Yeah.
A really quick question is, if somebody has a gun, you're not going to be able to outrun a gun or outrun the bullet when they shoot. So what would you do like that? And the question I actually called about was, I realize this is New York State is not one of them, but could you guys talk about the states that are have the stand your ground laws.
Yeah, it's not really the topic of the program, but let's go with the first.
Well, I mean, with respect to, you know, self defense, you're supposed to leave the scene, or, you know, do whatever you can to get away. The opposite being those states that have the stand your ground laws.
Okay, all right. So let's cover the first part. If somebody has a gun, says get in the car, what do you do?
Absolutely. Joe, I'll tell you, it's definitely a challenging situation there. I mean, it does take some practice and some training to learn how to defend against any kind of a firearm. It doesn't change my opinion, though, that whether they have a gun or not, if you go somewhere, you're probably not coming back. Bear a couple things in mind. One, some of the techniques that we focus on, you're not going to do a fancy take the gun away stripping thing like a Liam Neeson movie. That's not going to happen. But you are going to throw on and put on a very aggressive stature, a very aggressive stance to avoid, you know, the firearm being pointed directly at you. Some of our techniques, when we kind of get into it, it causes the person to back up and turn around and basically just try to protect themselves, their own face, their eyes, their groin, that kind of a thing. And then we recommend running. Now, contrary to popular belief, shooting a moving target is incredibly difficult to do. You know, we do have a number of people that we work with that have firearms training and that kind of stuff. So there are ways to avoid, you know, unfortunately getting shot. But you're absolutely right. But I still would probably say let's work on training how to avoid that firearm rather than going somewhere else. Because if you're going to go somewhere else, you're not coming back.
When is just turning around and running an appropriate response? I've heard a great Richard Pryor routine way back when. You're confronted with a guy with a knife, and all you have is a hand with some skin on it. That's when you run. What you do?
That's when you run. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of our primary things is to get that distance and get that space to run.
Yeah.
We don't want to sit there and try to invoke this and get involved with somebody.
All right. Very quickly, Dan, do you want to address the stand your ground?
Yeah, Ray, I'm going to invite ourselves back, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because if we get into stand your ground and the circumstances, it is a very complex topic.
Okay.
It starts off, Jill, with physical force. We're talking about using not deadly physical force, which, of course, a firearm is, or certain weapons are, and when and under what circumstances you can use them. We're trying to emphasize on just your basic fundamental right to protect yourself. And in every jurisdiction in this country, you have a basic right to protect yourself. When we get into stand your ground laws in situations, we're talking using deadly physical force. And when can you deadly physical force? And what I'd like to do, if Ray would like, we can address that at another time.
Oh, but absolutely.
We could talk about that for 2 hours. Is that fair?
Fair enough.
Jill, you're a regular. You'll be back, right?
Hopefully.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jill.
Thanks very much, guys.
Appreciate
the
call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to wrong phone, Ray. Let's go to Nicholas in Lenox, Mass. Nicholas, you're on.
Hi. So I'm a skateboarder, and I sometimes get attacked by old people, either with their cane pushing me under my wheels or just punching me while I'm skating by. Is there any way I can look like less threatening to them?
Wow.
You get attacked by old people with their canes because you're a skateboarder?
Yeah. They think I'm a threat, so they, by defending themselves, they just put their cane under my wheel, which makes me fall.
I see.
Or punch me while I'm skating.
They can actually punch you while you're skating.
Yeah.
I think you need a new neighborhood to be candid with
you. I was going to say that, too.
Yeah.
I hate to make kind of a joke out of it, but you're going to have to, you know, find someplace else to skateboard. You really can't get physical with someone who's you know, incapacitated or older or doesn't have those kind of abilities. You're obviously much stronger, much more, you know, developed than they are. But, you know, I hate to say it. Have you tried to talk to these people and just say, what's the deal? Or hi, I just want to introduce myself. It sounds very simple.
So some aggressive old people.
Yeah, but geez.
A rough neighborhood. All right, let's go to Eileen in Springfield. Eileen, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to relay an incident that happened to my mother. I'm from Washington State, and when I was growing up there, it's kind of a wild place with logging roads and big cliffs on the dirt roads. And she actually was driving out there one time, and when she stopped someplace, somebody jumped in her car and held a knife to her and told her to drive off. And so she drove off and threw her hands up in the air and started beating the guy if the car went over the cliff, that was going to be just fine with her. And so he screamed and hollered and jumped out of the car and told her she was crazy.
That's a great story. Again, it goes back to they don't want a hassle. They don't want any kind of hassle. They don't want to get injured. And God forbid, if the car went over the cliff, that's exactly what I had. So I think your mom handled it
she
very well.
She figured that was her best option.
Absolutely. And really, that's what it comes back to. And one of the things that we train is we try to get people to give them options. You have to have options. You have to have different ways to handle things. There's no one answer for any of it. So I think she handled it really well.
Let me jump in here just quickly on that. Along the lines of what John said, one of the things that we try to do, if you go out on a basketball court and you've never dribbled and you've never shot, you're not going to be very good. Most people don't think about self-defense. What we want to try to do is put in your mind that you might be in a situation. Think about it. Know your options, because if you ever get put in that situation, you can draw on the fact that this isn't sudden and you have to react. And I just want to throw this quick story in because I think it's very useful in terms of how the average person reacts to a difficult situation. I have a good friend of mine who is a very prominent, high-powered female lawyer.
All right.
She is very tough, and she is not intimidated by anybody. And she decided to take our class one time, and I said, well, why are you taking the class? You're so tough. And she goes, I want to tell you what happened to me. I was in a supermarket, and I had a bag of groceries in my hand, and I came out, and a guy came up to me. Obviously, he was a homeless person, and I think that he just wanted some money. And he grabbed me by the hand, or by the arm. She said, my legs turned to jelly. I almost fell on the ground. I froze. I was paralyzed. I had never been in a situation before. I don't like the way that felt, and I wanted to be able to train myself to avoid a situation and what to do in a situation like that. Much of what we try to do is give people the first opportunity, the first time they may have ever thought about this, what do you do if you're in this situation or that situation? It prepares you because we're all about preparation.
One of the things we do too, Ray, is that many self-defense classes don't do, and some of them may do, is that we actually went out, we invested in two very high-level, high-powered SWAT tactical suits. So at the end of the class, we have our instructors dress up, or two of our instructors dress up in these protective suits, and we allow the women to apply everything that they learned in the class at full speed. So it's not just hitting pads and talking; they can get out there and they can wail on a real person at full speed to really get a feel for what it's like. Many people are very, very, very hesitant to hurt somebody else. They're very queasy.
I think that's normal, right?
It's absolutely normal. In fact, there was a study that said that 20% of World War I combat soldiers shot at the enemy. Only 20%. Everyone else shot in the air off to the side because soldiers who are their charge is to defend our country couldn't deal with the fact that they would be hurting another person or taking someone else's life. It's very, very difficult for them to do. So we do try to set it up in such a way that they have a little bit of experience and they can, That being said, it's a fun type of an environment. People are going to learn when they have some fun. So it goes everywhere from joking around with the people in the class to talk about some pretty dark situations. And it really serves our purpose very well.
All right, so we only have 2 minutes left. I'll tell you what, let's take one more call, and then I want to get the three biggest points that you can give to everybody who may never go to a class. So let's go to Dan in Albany. Dan, you have about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, one extremely vulnerable point, the Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm. Dan, let me tell you how we approach it this way. I think the Adam's apple is very good, the nose, the eyes. We do teach a little differently because a self-defense situation is volatile and constantly moving. So we don't teach target acquisition, right? We would say hit to the head or the throat area, because if they turn their head, I'm going to get them in the ear. If they're taller than I am, I'm going to get them in the throat. If they're shorter than I am, I'll get them in the eye.
Yeah.
So we shoot for what we call center mass rather than any particular target, because if that target's not available, someone who's especially not experienced is going to have a mental freeze.
John Border and Dan Tuzinski, great time having you guys here. Learned an awful lot. Give me the three basic points that Joe on the street who will never go to your academy needs to know.
Well, I'll go with the first one. I'm going to yield to John on the second one. But the first one, in my opinion, is awareness. Be aware of your boundaries. Be aware of where you are and who is approaching you. And do not take things for granted. Bad things do happen to good people. Don't be paralyzed with fear, but be aware of your surroundings and the situation you're in.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Okay, the second one I'm going to say is you have to exude a feeling of confidence. You have to not look like an easy target. You have to just not be appealing to someone who's going to walk up and hassle you for whatever the case may be. you know.
Good.
I'll follow on that third one, too. We're going to go back to a comment that someone made earlier about that book. You got to follow your gut instinct. If something doesn't feel right, it's not right. You need to get out of there.
Gentlemen, this was terrific. Really enjoyed it. John Border and Dan Tuzinski of the Modern Self-Defense Academy. You can find more links at our website, WAMC.org. Support comes from Pool It, Middletown, New York. Above-ground pool sales and installation, chemicals, filters, floats, pool toys, and more in-store and online. Pool-it-ny.com. The Unitarian Universalist congregations with locations in the Capital Region and beyond, welcoming all people no matter their sexual orientation or gender identity, capitalregionuu.org. Best Cleaners, 11 locations throughout the Capital Region offering tailoring, bridal, household, and shoe cleaning, plus home delivery, lookyourbest.com. At Metroland, an alternative news weekly serving New York's Capital Region and Western Massachusetts. Thanks to Zach Malloy, a black belt in engineering. Thanks to, oh gosh, I don't know your name, the intern, the Julia Day. Thank you. I knew that. To Julia for answering the calls. Jessica Blaustein, Marshall, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks for being here, everybody. Tomorrow, it's the Science Forum. Stay tuned now for the news.